Welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and joining me as usual is Jim Allen. What's happening, Jim?
Hey, John. Had a lot of good baseball this week, a lot of interesting things going on. How are you doing?
Interesting things, like the train's not running. When you're trying to
nobody wants to hear about that, especially you.
That's true. I don't want to play this like a week later and hear me complaining about the train, so there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay.
It's just like me complaining about the losses of my favorite team, so I won't do that either. we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to break down the CL and PL races and discuss the new import a little bit more, so let's get going with clearing the bases. All right, so your Swallows are still out in front.
They are.
The game
interesting.
Got down to 5 games, though. They had a little bit shaved off there. But they're still out in front.
Well, they've been getting whacked around. They need to play the Dragons more often is one thing.
Although, shoot to kill. Don't just fire bullets wildly.
They split with the Dragons. I think they each scored 4 runs. They won 1, tied 1, lost 1, both of them.
Right, but after they've won about 7 straight to start the season against the Dragons, you can afford to lose a couple here.
Right. Well, the thing is that they haven't played the Dragons on the road. All those Dragons games were at Jingu.
Right.
The other day when it went into Nagoya, it was the first time. So the schedules are really weird this year. We have a lot of strange things going on in terms of where teams are going to have games remaining at home and on the road. And that's going to be kind of interesting as we get down the season. But the Swallows, they've been a weird team all year. They don't have a great offense. Their pitching, they have great pitchers. They got Tateyama and Ishikawa.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that they're great pitchers, but they are.
They're very good.
Pitching to their potential this year.
Well, they're very good, and it's. I don't think there's any doubt that Tateyama is one of the better pitchers in the league. I mean, you don't like it. You know, you can not. There's lots of things not to like about him.
Right.
But the fact is, he keeps guys off base. He keeps runs from scoring, and he wins games. And
he's a solid guy. He's just not a guy who strikes fear in the batters when you talk about a playoff situation.
Sure.
And ultimately. Yeah, during the regular season, it's good to win games, and you've got to do that in order to make the playoffs.
Right.
But to succeed in the playoffs, you've got to have a shutdown, lights out guy, and they don't have that guy. Well,
they don't have the guy who's going to do it all the time. Now, Tateyama can be that guy, but he's not going to be the guy you're going to expect to do it all the time.
Right. He's not going to blow anybody away in the playoffs. He's going to work.
Yeah.
His Tateyama magic and get guys out and probably maybe 1 or 2 runs, maybe.
Sure.
And then turn it over to the bullpen and then, win the way they win. But they don't have that shutdown, strike fear in the, batter's legs.
Chikawa's the same. He's good. He's a solid pitcher.
Right. That's what I mean by great. Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. They're very good. They're the very... they're not the best, but they're pretty darn good.
Oh, they're good. And they're good. I trade them. I trade for them. Put them on my team. Yeah, they're good. They're good.
Okay, well, let's see. How did Tateyama do in his 1 playoff game? 2 runs in 6, and he lost.
That would have been 3 years ago?
That would have been on October 18th, 2009, in Nagoya. He allowed 3 runs.
2 years ago.
2 earned runs, mm-hmm. 2 years ago. And lost game 1 of the, I think it was game 1 of the...
That was their first ever postseason non-Japan series game. That's right.
Oh, it was game 2. Take that back. Game 2. Probably, probably started 1. Okay. So, anyway, getting past that, they have the pitchers who can get them into the playoffs. Now, The question is, how have they been able to win so many games while scoring so few runs? Well, scoring runs is relative. I don't mean to sound like this is rocket science or anything, but every park's environment is different. Pitching in Right. You know, different from pitching in Sapporo Dome, obviously.
And before you even start the story, you should preface it by saying there's a team out there that's sitting in last place that has outscored everybody in the Central League this season.
Sure. Do the Bay Stars have the best offense? No. But they play in the best hitter's park.
Right.
In the Central League.
And that's, you know, the proof there is that they've given up 365 runs through Saturday.
The proof is really that, I mean, well, that's the obvious. I mean, you suspect it when you see those numbers. I mean, sometimes it can be misleading. You know, if teams are really unbalanced, if they have a lot of, a team that has a great offense and a poor defense will have those kind of numbers in a neutral park. But usually you see things like the Bay Stars, and the first thing you should think of is hitter's park.
Right.
Okay. Now, the Bay Stars are allowing about 1.6 runs more per game. There's about 1.6 runs per game scored more by every team playing in the Bay Stars home parks.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is they go from, if you go to a Bay Stars game on the road, it's probably 6.5 runs scored between both teams.
Uh-huh.
You go to a Bay Stars game in Yokohama, it's closer to 9 runs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. That's what the park is doing for the Bay Stars, is picking all those numbers up. So anyway, what I mean to say here is just scoring the total number of runs is not as important as the context
in which
you score them. Now, which brings us to the Yakult Swallows. A few days ago, they were 14 games above 500 while having allowed 3 more runs than they scored.
Right.
Now,
so immediately, what conclusion would you jump to?
Well, it's weird. The first conclusion is this is a little bizarre.
Yeah, something's wrong. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, it's not what's wrong, but, well, one question is how did it happen? And the other question is how much of it is luck? And the answer is, of course, we can't know, but a chunk of that is just going to be good timing. You can design your offense to, you can plan your offense to score runs a little at a time.
Mm-hmm.
If your goal is to score 3 runs a game, then you bunt all the time.
Right.
But the problem is you do that and you'll lose every time you give up 4 runs.
In theory.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially. On the other hand, scoring 3 runs a game is really good because every time you can keep the other team to less than 3, you're going to win.
Right.
So the idea is to be consistent. Just consistently get past the 0 runs, which gives you no chance to win, the 1 run, which gives you a, 1 in 10 chance.
Very marginal chance, yeah.
The 2 runs, which gives you maybe a 25% chance of winning, and so on and so forth up the ladder. When you get past 5 runs, you're getting into the useless runs territory. The value of the 6th run in most games is vastly less important than the 5th run. You know, the Hawks, I think, this year beat somebody 17-2. You know, most of those runs were just they didn't mean anything.
There's only so much gravy you can put on the potatoes.
Exactly. You only get 1 win out of that. Exactly.
Right.
You know, there's only so many potatoes. You can put all the gravy you want on them, but the potatoes aren't going to last.
Right.
So, essentially, the balance, the Swallows have had a very, two things. They've had a very good small ball offense in the sense that they've, they have a good small ball offense in the sense that they're not trying to hit home runs, but they have a great on-base percentage.
Mm-hmm.
They have the best on-base percentage in the Central League. Then they don't lose runners on the bases.
That helps. That always helps. Get your guys.
They're probably
picked off and everything.
They're probably the only team that's been better at not having their runners doubled off are the Giants, but the Giants strike out a lot more. So they're probably about even. On the other hand, they also they're the best percentage base stealing team in the Central League. They sacrifice a lot. So
what you're telling me is sorry to cut you off there. You're telling me that they don't outscore their opponents every night, but they do outscore their opponents enough to have gone 14 games over 500, which is the point, right? Is winning
games.
They've
done it, and they win low scoring games.
Mm-hmm.
because they play an offense that's not going to score 5, 6, 7, 8 runs a lot, but it is going to score 2, 3, 4, 5 runs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get shut out, and they have enough pitching. I mean, I'm somewhat puzzled to ask, if you ask the question, are they better at pitching and defense, or are they better than hitting? In this weird year in which the big hitting teams, the Tigers and the Giants, and in the past the Dragons, used to score a lot of runs in their context,
mm-hmm.
they are not. And the Swallows are they got a decent offense, and it looks, it's an okay offense. It's probably a little below average, but they play in a park where they play in a good hitter's park now.
I got to stop you there, too. Now, when you say below average, do you mean below average for this season or below average for a typical season or below average
for a typical season? No, I can only talk about this season for Central League.
So below average in the Central League. I mean, they got to be right there in the middle. I mean,
they're pretty close, and their home team, they're giving them a little bit of a boost.
Right. From the numbers I saw, they were in the middle, basically, in the big category.
They're a little, I think they're fourth, they're third in runs scored, but they are, anyway, so the point being that they're scoring a lot of runs. They're scoring a decent amount of runs. I mean, when you're near the top of the league in runs, you know, you're up there in runs scored, and you're scoring often, you're going to give your pitchers a lot of chances to win games. And what are the Swallows doing? They're going out and they're winning games, but they're winning, you know, they're winning two. It seems like if they allow one run, they score two. If they allow two runs, they score three. That's just, you know, when you're trying to score as many runs as you can to win, sometimes you're going to score more than you need. Sometimes you're going to score less than you need. You just can't keep up that good fortune. And the Swallows have indeed been very fortunate. You know, they do what they do well, but you can't explain their record just by their offense. Some of it's just got to be good luck.
So, by their offense or by their pitching?
By their pitching, either way. That balance of runs scored is very, they're pretty far off what we would normally expect.
So after all this, are you ready to say that they're not going to win the Central League?
Well, basically, there's two things that's going to happen. The Swallows for example, they're playing below their ability to score runs and allow runs. And what do you think? Do you think they're a better offensive team than they've been this year?
You know, I don't think they're, you know, Valentin got off to such a great, a hot start.
Right.
And it looked like they were going to run away with the thing, you know, in the first week or so, first 2 weeks. And then he slowed down.
Right.
And since then, no one's really stepped up and been a terribly scary force on the field for them at the plate. And they're still winning games.
Well, they get on base and they move the guys around the bases.
Yeah, that tells me that they just know how to win. And, you know, I'll take that in the regular seasons, certainly, for sure, I'll take that over a team that just scores a lot of runs. Because the team that scores a lot of runs, when they get into those close games, they don't know how to manufacture a run to get that one run that they need to score. They're always looking to bash the ball somewhere, you know, hit a gap or hit a home run, and they don't know how to manufacture that run. And you know, in the long over the
that's
long
a,
ball,
a, I prefer
that. Yeah, I prefer that too. So that tells me that they know how to win, and they're playing the game well, and they're managing the talent that they have to win games. And that's, you know, throw all the offense aside and all the numbers and all that other stuff. The point of the game each night is to go out and try to win it. And and they're the best at doing that right now in the Central League. And, you know, I'm not, I keep saying that they're the least flawed team out there. You know, they do have their flaws. You know, nobody's hitting a bunch of power.
Yeah.
Nobody's scoring a heck of a lot of runs. Nobody's shutting other teams out every night. I mean, this, to me, what is this, the fifth year, or was it 2006 that the playoff system started in the Central League? Or
2007.
2007, not 2009. Okay, so this, to me...
No, 2006.
I thought it was 2006, but I couldn't remember. I'm getting old. To me, this is going to be the best...
It was 2007 because 2006 was the year they got the Dragons, and the Dragons sat while the fighters practice.
When the fighters practice. Okay.
While the fighters played meaningful games, yeah.
2007. So 2007, and this is going to be the most interesting year, not only for first place, mm-hmm. you know, the race for first place, but the entire, you know, five teams, I think, have a shot to be in the playoffs.
Sure.
And think they have a shot to be in the playoffs and are playing like they have a shot to be in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think it's, I mean, by August, we've usually got two teams that are pretty much out of it and are playing out the string.
Right.
And we're not experiencing that yet this year. Not yet. Maybe it'll happen at the end of the month. Right. But, you know, there's a lot of teams. I think, you know, we're talking about 5, 6, 7, 8, within 9 games of the top. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody goes on an extended winning streak, they can turn things around. And we saw that. We're seeing that happen right now with the Giants. They won 5 in a row, and they were in 5th place, perhaps at the beginning of the week, and now they're up in the 3rd. And the Hiroshima Carb had won 5 in a row, and they moved up as high as 2nd, and now they're back down in 4th place. I mean, this is going to happen, I think, you know, on a weekly basis. We're going to talk about a team, and you know, they can go from 2nd to 5th.
Well, not 2nd to 5th, yeah, but I mean, that's sort of the hot seat. However, the Swallows are beginning to feel the heat, you know, after getting, you know, they've hit a rough patch in the last couple of weeks. They had a rough series again. They lost 2 at Tokyo Dome. They split a 3-game series in Nagoya, which is not as hard to do as it used to be. I mean, I don't mean that as kind of as a dragon, but with all the ties, it's easy to get a tie, and the Swallows are the masters of ties, you know.
Exactly, and that's the other thing I was going to mention, if we get back to that real quick, is that they might not always win these games, but they know how to get the score even with the new rules and the system that, you know, the way it is, and
right.
prevent losses. And those,
right.
you know, the ties, and you talk about the way the major leagues goes and how the All-Star game 1 year mm-hmm. finished in a tie and how people can't stand it and all the
stuff. Get a life.
But, I mean, these ties, they're important. And 12 yep. ties. 12. I got 12 on the TBS site. 41, 30, and 12. 12 ties. It's 12 times that they didn't lose.
That's funny.
You know, it's 12 times that they didn't win, but they didn't lose the game either. And nobody, you know, is hardly close to that. Yokohama has 7 ties. The Giants have 6. The Tigers have just 2. And you look at the loss column. The Tigers are in 2nd place, but they're 10 games out in the loss column, 30 and 40.
Yeah.
That's major. And, you know, for you to make up games as you're going along
sure.
with a team that has so many fewer losses,
yep,
that's
really hard.
A huge challenge to overcome. I mean, you might be able to catch them. In fact, they are even in the wins column, but, you know, they're 5 games behind them just because there's a 10-game difference in the loss column because of those 12 ties.
Right.
So you talk about the Swallows, and maybe they're not winning all these
right.
games that they could win, but they're not losing a bunch either when you have
right.
those ties. So
well,
that tells me they're competing. They're competing
well. There's
well.
No doubt about that.
They're competing well, and they believe that they can win. And like I said last week, they have that little magic, whatever it is, that look of a championship team that, you know, the last guy on the bench comes up in a late game situation and comes up with a big hit after not having played for a week. You
right.
know, that kind of magic look to them. And they've had it to me. I mean, to me, and I know you love your Swallows, but you kind of remind me of a Mets fan. Now, I don't really have any Mets fans as friends, but I've heard them talk all the time, and they're worse than Dodger fans, and I can profess to that. And they
okay, the cap is kind of funky, but put me in the same group of the Mets fan, and you'd be walking with a limp next week.
I'm so glad we're not in the same room at the moment, and I'm off the next 2 days. Made sure I had a buffer zone for a cooling down period. But
thank God for the internet, baby.
So I mean, you know, there's always this thought or feeling of impending doom, no matter how far out they are in a game. No matter how far out they are in the standings, or far up they are in these situations, that there's, you know, something's going to go wrong. Somebody's going to kick a ball or boot a ball. Something's going to happen, and I just don't see it. I mean, all these teams have to go through bad stretches, and they're all going to go through good stretches. And, you know, the Swallows lost 3 games in a row, but they lost them on the road. There are always going to be teams like the Dragons and the Bay Stars that they've beaten up on at home that are going to come in, and they're going to be able to feast on them. they really only have to, you know, avoid losing three in a row to these teams that are right behind them when they're playing at home, and they'll be fine to me. I don't see this, you know, being outscored and not being able to generate enough runs to cruise in some games as being a problem for them.
Outscored says nothing about what's going to happen from now on. But the point is this. What I'm saying is some of where they are right now has nothing to do with that we're winners mentality, we're going to pull this out mentality. Mm-hmm. Now, some of that comes from winning. Some of that comes from the manager. Some of that comes from the players. But some of these results are, you know, just defy, they're like, you know, wins are a little bit like a batting average.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some are just, some wins you don't really deserve. They just, you know, they happen. You know, you do everything wrong and you win because the other guy does more things wrong than you do, or the ball bounces the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So the Swallows have had their share of these. Obviously, when you see a disparity like this, when you see this disconnect, you have to think two things. One, either they were playing, or they were getting wins that the number of runs and runs allowed was not supporting. So mm-hmm. what's going to happen? Either, okay, some of that, whatever you like. I think, objectively, the Swallows, because they play a small ball game and they play it well, and other teams weren't hitting for power, which is changing now.
Right.
I think if you look, the Giants have hit half their home runs in the last quarter of their games this year. You know, I think they're sort of warming up for the final charge. Things are going to be a little different. The heat's going to be on. Now, okay, that's another story, but the point being, from now on, you have to look at the Swallows and assume, okay, let's say they don't have the luck. What are they going to, if they play .500 the rest of the year, are they going to be able to win this pennant? Now, that's a good question. I don't know.
Right.
Now, what I'm telling you is that the quality they've got right now, they've shown so far this season, they're essentially a .500 team.
Okay.
Now, so let's say, can they play .500? I think that's pretty obvious. I think they can. Can they get better? And that's a good question. I don't think they have the runs in them. Ballantyne's is a solid player. I mean, they have basically a three-man offense. They got Josh Whitesell, they got Ballantyne, and they got Hatakayama. Those are the three big guys. Aoki's a good player. He's getting on base. He's basically getting on base a little bit. There's a couple other guys who are contributing a little bit, but it's basically those
three
guys. Yeah,
Aikawa's going to get them some hits here and there. Tanaka's going to get them some hits here
and
there.
Sure, but it's basically three guys. They don't have this deep reservoir. They don't have... I'll tell you, you know, I've been saying it's going to happen. I'm hoping it is because I do believe in him, and I want him to do well. He's got the Rastawara. Seeing him get three hits yesterday, I'm thinking, wow, maybe this is the day, and he got another hit today, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I saw him hit a home run the other day, and I'm like, uh-oh. He's been sleeping giant from all season, but I think he might be awake. And then
the next at bat,
he hit a home run, and I'm like, oh no, here we go.
So this is, you know, the Giants have this untapped resource of guys who just have not gotten their head onto the new ball or gotten off the new ball or whatever. And when they start just going back to their natural swings as much as possible, and they stop worrying about the pitches that aren't going to be, they can't hit because the strike zone's wider and blah, 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 they're going to be a much more dangerous offense than the Swallows.
Yeah, that's true. They have more potential. They have more big, you know, boppers. They have a park that is conducive to home runs.
But not so much anymore.
Not so much anymore, but, I mean, that's the same for everybody. So, and every park is different. So,
but they've been underplaying is the point. Okay.
Well, I don't know if they're underachieving.
The Giants hitting .220 for most of the season. That's underachievement. There's no other word for that.
It is and it isn't. I mean, you know, no team is hitting great. I mean,
other than the Hawks, and the Swallows were hitting really well for a while.
Yeah, no team is like great. They're all, you know, doing better. And especially, it seemed like after the All-Star break, everybody seemed to have gotten their bats going here.
A little bit.
Except the Dragons. But,
what's up with these guys? I mean,
they had a 171 hitter. They put him in the number three hole. I'm like, okay, Ochai's just giving up. Yeah, put Guzman in the three hole, and then he brings another guy who was, I think he started, and he won the player of the week or month, or Masahiko Morino. They put him in the cleanup spot, and he was barely hitting 230 when they put him there. I think he got his average over 250. I'm not sure. I can't see it poking above water. What's wrong with
that? Because you need your microscope.
That's right. They're not hitting, and they haven't been, and they got shut out tonight, and Michael Westbay, when they lost the other night, he says, hey, the Bay Stars are 500 against the Dragons. I'm going to send him back an email. I said, well, who isn't? Basically, in the Central League, I think there's only one other team that the Tigers, they've won more games than the Tigers. That's it.
Tigers, well, they're 8-7 against the Bay Stars.
And they're 8-7 against the Bay Stars. So, I mean,
they're great. I've talked about that before. The difference with the Bay Stars now is they're no longer afraid of the Tigers, Dragons, and Giants. And now, except they've exchanged that for a fear of the Swallows and Carp.
You could exchange it. So, and speaking of the Carp, let's get to them now too. They had a little run. They moved up in the second place.
Five games in a row.
And I was getting, I had mentioned in the previous show that I liked the Carp maybe for third place.
Yeah.
And they were winning. And then we looked inside. I mean, I went and looked at some of the numbers, and they're not walking any more than any other team in particular. They're not hitting better than other teams. They're not pitching better than other teams. They just had one guy get hot. Their cleanup man had a good 2 weeks. Kenta Kurihara, he's got 7 home runs now. I think he's hit 6 in the past 10 days or so.
Yeah, it's the funniest thing, because I talked to Kurihara about 10 days ago, and he said, I'm not feeling the ball come off my bat. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right in practice. It doesn't feel right in games and blah, blah, blah. And I hate the new umpires, and I hate the new strike zone, and what are you going to do? And it was, all you got to do is keep going out. He was really down, and I don't know what's going on. I just try to get my singles, I suppose. Well, he hit a rocket. He hit one about 20 rows back in left center field at Jingu that night for a 3-run homer that won it for the Carp, and then he's hit 4 more home runs in the next 7 days. So I mean, he's not a big – he's a line drive hitter who can hit the ball really hard.
Right.
When he's on, he's a sort of a right-handed version of Fukudome, in the sense that he just hits the ball hard on a line, and if he gets a nice angle, it goes out.
If you say so. I mean, if you say so.
He doesn't hit for average, though. He doesn't hit for average, though. I mean, he does.
Yeah.
But I say it in the sense of the quality of the balls. When he does hit them, he doesn't make contact often enough to be Fukudome. And he's not a selector. He's not going to draw walks like Fukudome. But I'm saying when he hits the ball, he hits those kind of shots that just, they leave dents.
Right. So, we looked at Hiroshima, and getting back to that story, again, I think we're all over the place in this show. It would be fun to listen to it again.
see what we're talking about.
Are we just driving through the town, not going in any particular place?
Well,
getting back to it, I mean, the Carp had this little run. The Dragons were in second for a little while. The Giants had moved up. I mean, everybody's just taking turns here. It's going to be a really fun, last 2 months of the season to watch these guys battle for the postseason. All these games are gonna mean something. When Hiroshima is playing Yokohama, and the Dragons and the Swallows are playing, and the Giants and Tigers are playing, all three games are gonna have such a big bearing on who goes to the postseason every night. It's just so cool.
It is really good. I mean, and essentially what you're saying about teams not feeling out of it is going to be the big thing. The Kurihara said that, the team feels good if we feel like we can go out and win. We just have to we have to play smart baseball and we can win. We've got the guys who can run. We've got the guys who can pitch. We've got the guys who can hit and throw. So, it's go out and enjoy. And I think a lot of people are going to be enjoying it this year.
Well, let's enjoy what's going on in the Pacific League now. We've been talking about the Hawks all season long. I said how loaded they are. And, they've had so many injuries. And we don't even realize it because they keep winning. I mean, it's not like they're slowing down at all. So, they're like a machine.
It's like they're being handicapped. it's like somebody's handicapping them. just try to keep it, you know, it's like they've got
the... Trying to keep the race close.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the god of baseball is handicapping them, you know, trying to keep them, you know, from getting swell heads. We're going to knock off your best hitter. We're going to knock off your best reliever, your second best reliever. We're going to take away your catcher. And like, oh yeah?
Did you see that? He got pumped right in the face the other day.
Again?
Well, not again. Well, what do you mean again? I mean,
Osakawa.
Yeah, Osakawa got a ball in the chin. He was moving into bunt.
Taking him off the chops. You name it, he gets hit.
Well, we got to tell him to get. You know, you talked about their heads being swollen. Maybe his is swollen for a couple of reasons. One is because he keeps getting knocked in the head on pitches. Another is because they keep winning so many games.
Osakawa's a great guy, and I'll tell you one thing. He's my. If you ask me about who's the toughest player in Japan, I have to think it's him because of a time when he got a laceration on his thumb,
mm-hmm.
and we were asking him what happened to the stitches, and he said they're gone. And somebody said, "Oh, you had the when did the doctor take them out?" He said, "No, I just pulled them out myself."
Yikes! I knew you were going there with that. images, man, stop it! It hurts just to think about. But this team, they're 30 games over 500. They're not losing. You know, I think you talked about before we started taping that, you know, they might not be winning all these
right.
games. And they went into Cebu this weekend for this three-game series, and they tied twice. But
right.
then, you know, they won 8-1 today was the score. They're just out of control here. 30 games over 500. This is ridiculous.
Okay.
But, you know, their lead's only four games.
But that's not the scary thing about they're not like the Swallows where you think, well, they're seven games ahead. You know, that's a comfortable lead. You look at the Hawks at four games, you think, who the heck's going to catch these guys? They're four games ahead.
I mean, I don't know if I feel that way. I look at the 30 games over 500. That's what impresses me. I mean, you know, nobody's going to get there. And if they stay at that point, you know, yeah, nobody's going to catch them. But if they falter and they come back to maybe 25, 20, 24, 23, somewhere in there, I think the Fighters can be around.
The Fighters and the Hawks are going to be in the climax. Well, unless, of course, we have another repeat of last year's bizarre, you know, Chiba Lotte Marines feel-good story, finished third by winning the last three games of the season, and then just destroying everybody in the postseason like the regular season didn't exist.
Well, it did. They didn't destroy, but they were like, they were the cockroach you couldn't kill. You know, you chased him all around the kitchen, and he kept going from one dark spot to another where the broom wouldn't get to.
Talk about your kitchen, Gil.
Oh, my kitchen, there's no roaches. There's only remnants of good cuisine, my friend.
Okay, that's
quality cuisine.
We're talking about them other people's kitchens.
We're talking about kitchens in the ghetto. But, I mean, it's like a little bug, and they keep running to the corner, and they're quick enough to get away from you, but you know you're going to get it. You think you're going to get them eventually, and then, boom, they run out the door, you know.
Yeah.
And then they go to the next house, and they do the same thing to the next house and torture those people and torment them, and they can't kill them, and then they're all, and then, you know.
The dragons ran out of pest spray.
The dragons ran out of pesticide, and so did the whole baseball block. Ran out of pesticide, and they're,
yeah.
I mean, you know, they were good. They played really well, but
yep.
I don't see that happening this year. Although they are in third place at the moment. That's the third and final playoff spot. I was hoping the Eagles could fight back up there and get into that third spot. And it's not over, but it's not looking good. And, you know, we've bad-mouthed the Buffaloes all season long. I'd certainly like to see them make it just for the heck of it. I mean,
well, you'd like to see them make it because of the players, and then you want to say when they don't make it, what a dumb, you know, what a bunch of dumb, you know, lunkheads are running that show. So it's a, you know, it's sort of a, you can't really win with the Buffaloes.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to pick on them that way. I would like to see them win. Certainly if they do win and get into the postseason, it doesn't bode well for future players there because they're not, they're obviously management and the front office are going to think they're doing things the right way. So there's no reason to really improve what they're doing. They're on the right track. So it could be detrimental for them to actually make the playoffs. But, you know, I'd like to see that. you know, Lotte has played, I mean, for all their problems and issues and the injuries that they have had and gone through, they're right there, too. And you got to respect that. So, you know, they're cockroaching through the regular season here.
They are. They are indeed. And, you know, they got Jose Castillo, who I love. And he's a real useful player.
Useful in a lot of ways. I mean, the guy can hit. But
sure.
Not only that, he's a good presence around the younger players, and he works hard, and he's got a great attitude. He doesn't, he had a time of it, I think, with the Yokohama Bay Stars last year, and most of the time, you know, he was able to shake off things and wasn't really too worried about what was going on, and played hard the whole season, you know, right down to the end. And that's he was able to get a job here again, because, people saw the effort that he was giving in the games that, you know, didn't mean anything right at the end of the season.
Right. I mean, I think the Eagles would have been happy to have him as well. So you think he would have fit in there pretty well, I think.
Probably. Okay. But, these fighters, I would like to see them come through. The way you said it, the way you worded it earlier, the Hawks don't look like anybody's going to catch them because they have this insurmountable 4-game lead. But,
it's just that they've got that.
It seems insurmountable.
They're juggernauts. It's like they're either juggernauts or they're Medusas. You know, you kill a head and another new one just grows back. These guys get hurt and another one just comes. These guys come popping out of the woodwork. They got so much talent. Now, the fighters are the same kind of team. They are deep. They have a lot of young talent. But I just don't think, they don't have the offense. They don't have the big offense. I mean, you can argue pitching and defense, but,
They don't. And Bobby Scales has come in, and he has hit for them. He's done well. Now, we know he's only holding the position warm, keeping it warm until Kensuke Tanaka gets back. If he gets back, we expect him back. But, at that point, they might have to find a spot for him so they can keep his bat in the lineup. That'll be something to look for when they get down to that situation.
Yeah, well.
If it comes to that.
That's right. You know, that's the dilemma of the Hawks all season. What do we do with these guys who can really play ball? Well, find your feet on the bench, boys, because there's a lot of you guys who can play ball.
Yeah, well, I'll be doing a story about that. I don't know if I'm going to be doing a regular feature story or a column about it, but I will be writing about that. And I did talk to Jose Ortiz, and I said, this was my question to him, is, you guys got a really good bunch of outfielders out there on the field, but you have just as many good players on the bench.
Yeah. Where do you think the Hawks bench would finish in the Central League?
Very, very good question. I mean, some of them are old. Some of them are old and might not make it through the entire season, but, they could certainly split, play half the season and be very productive. Yeah.
That's a question. Who would you start from the Hawks bench on the Yokohama Bay Stars?
Yeah, that is a good question.
Those would be some Bay Stars who'd lose their jobs, for sure.
Are we talking about Pacific League or Central League? Because if I have a DH, it's a different story.
Oh, Central League.
All right, well, I don't have a DH. All right. But, the Hawks have to just fight complacency, I think. I think that's going to be their biggest battle. And the fact that they have all these guys who can come in and make an impact, and that you have to fight for playing time. And if you're slumping or if you're not working hard enough that you're going to be on the bench, I think that's going to help them fight complacency, and particularly in the outfield.
Sure.
And I can see them winning the regular season. Now the playoffs.
We talked about this last week. I mean, I think we're pretty decided. I think have you changed your opinion that the Fighters might have an edge in the playoffs?
I'm not going to change my opinion that they have an edge. I just don't think that they can. And I said this last year, of course, and the Marines marched through everybody. But when you have to start your number one and number two to get through the first stage, and then you're starting a number three or someone else. And not that that's really bad, because they had a losing streak the other day that Bobby Keppel stepped up and threw six scoreless innings and helped them stop the losing streak even when Darvish couldn't. So obviously anybody can on a given night and on a given day can come on and put out the performance to win a game. However, in the playoffs, you know, format and with the pressure and all the games being at the first place team's venue, it's a completely different story. The pressure is a lot different. Getting through that whole scenario in which you have to win all these games on the road.
Yeah.
Against the team, if let's say it is the Fighters, let's assume it is the Hawks. I'm sorry. Who win the division then, or the league, then that's a really imposing and daunting challenge that's in front of you there.
Of course, we're getting with the Hawks, then we get back to, you know, we get back to curses.
Curse, that's a good word that we haven't used. At least I
Yeah, well.
That's what is it, the curse of the Bambino, or the curse of the...
No,
the Bobby
goat? No, but,
no, I'm trying to make up different words for it since it's going to be...
Right, but the thing in, you know, in the Hawks have these... I mean, the Dragons used to have it. You can't win the Japan Series. And you can't win Japan Series games at home, especially. And then, we figured that out. Okay, no problem now. So, the Hawks, essentially, have been really, really bad in the postseason. I mean, they won the Japan Series in 99, and they won the Japan Series in 2003, when they were a vastly better team.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't have gone seven games, but management was poor. I mean, I love Sadaharo, but the fact is his record in the postseason was pretty lousy. Now, we had, at that time, the Hawks also had another issue, which was Nobuhiko Matsunaga couldn't hit in the postseason. He could get triple crown hitter, and
Barry Bonds did in the playoffs there.
He was abysmal. Now, he has since changed. In the last couple of years, he's been about normal. I mean, he's about his normal self. Of course, he's been hurt and going downhill age-wise, but they have that background. Now, you know, is that going to be weighing on their minds? Is O going to come down and give them a speech? I know we
stay
really,
away. Stay away.
We're really stay lousy. Away. We're really lousy in the playoffs, but this year we can turn it around. Don't think about how lousy we've been.
That's it. It's the curse of the O. I don't
well,
know
hey,
what it is
man,
either.
Well, man, he won the first Japan Series for him in Fukuoka, so I don't think it's that, but they've just had tremendously bad results in the postseason that, you know, is this going to be the year they can get over it? Who knows? I mean, you know, they could be really favored, and they just have not been able to get it won. I mean, look at this way. Since 2004, they've had the best record in the Pacific League, 2005, 2006, 2006 they lost in Sapporo. So 2004, 2005, I'm going to say 2007. They've been in the second stage of the playoffs, I think, four times, and they haven't won it yet.
All right, well, they had the best record. Let's see. We've got 2000, 2003, 2010, and that's it. So from 99, 2003, they won the regular season league title.
Right, because in 2003 it was the Japan Series. There was no playoffs.
Right, there were no playoffs.
2004 they lost the playoffs to the who did they lose to?
I don't know that, but I know that they finished in second place in 2004. They finished in second place in 2005.
No, 2004 they finished second place because they won the regular season and they lost the pennant when the Lions beat them in Fukuoka.
Oh, gosh.
2005, they won the regular season, and they lost the pennant when the Marines beat them.
The Marines beat them, yeah.
In 2006, they lost in two games in Sapporo.
Which I was there for.
2007,
they
lost the first round in Chiba. 2008, they were not in the playoffs. 2009, now we're getting stuff. My head's about to explode, so I don't want to go into it anymore. But yeah. Basically, they're lousy in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Hawks
consistently.
I do not think they've ever won a playoff series.
And that, you know, that this year, what are they going to do with the pitching staff is the question. So you're gonna start. Let's say you win the regular season championship, second stage of the playoffs. Who's your number one?
Right.
Well, who is it for you? I mean, all those guys are pretty much the same. I don't know who you start over the other one.
Well, you go with Wada or Sugiyuchi, whoever's
Who is it? That's why you can't go with both. I was going to say it's either one of you guys. I don't know.
I'd go with Sugiyuchi.
Sugiyuchi won. Who's next?
Yes.
So Wada is going to be second. Who's next?
I would go, yeah, now you get into trouble because you got basically four guys who can start for you.
So who's next? Who's next for you? Yeah,
I'd go with DJ.
I'd go with Setsu.
Okay.
And
he'd be the guy,
because if you lose those, let's say you lose those two games, those first two games, he'd be the guy I'd want to have pitching in that situation.
Okay.
Let's say you win those two games, he'd be the guy I want to, you know, close it out. But now, do you come back with Sugiyuji on short rest, or do you go with DJ?
No, you go with DJ.
And what do you do with Yamada and those guys? You let them watch?
Put him in the bullpen. Let them watch the game.
Okay. Four guys.
I would say, yeah. I mean, geez, and they've got so many good pitchers, but I'll tell you, Sugiyuji, you know, this is for next year. The Hawks are going to have a really good rotation next year. Sugiyuji's likely to be gone. So lots of things can happen, but I think in the playoffs they've got a good chance to win it this time. But the Hawks were the best team in the league. They were the best team in short series. The only thing that kept them back was their managing. I hate to say that, but it's true. Now they got to get over history. If they can get over history, they can win it all. But they got to get over that history of the playoffs. They got to finally actually believe they can win a playoff series.
All right. Well, let's talk about some new players who are on the way or who have already arrived. One is Ryan Mulhern.
Yep.
He's with the Cebu Lions, and he made his debut by hitting a home run in his first at bat on Friday night against the Hawks.
There you go, Ryan. Yeah.
Yeah, he was the second Lions player to do that. And
who's the other player?
I only know the last name was Paul. You remember it was 1999.
Corey Paul.
Okay. Yep. He was the other guy to do that. Which is pretty fun. I mean, you know, I talked to him before the game. We sat down 5-10 minutes, and he said he was, you know, he let me know that he was a little bit nervous. And I said, hey, you know, it's the game you love. It's the game you've been playing. And they tell you what Alonzo Powell told me, which was they have to throw it over the plate at some point, and you got to hit it. And so. Out there and have fun.
You're like the guru there, John.
Hey, I'm just telling him what somebody else told me.
Okay, that's what it's about, babe.
Just passing along the knowledge, man. Passing along the knowledge. Not that I had anything to do with him at home, but maybe you know he was able to relax and just work on muscle memory and all that stuff, and then see the ball and hit the ball. That's what he said. But he joked before the game. The press, they always gather around a new guy. And, in the mirror room in the, behind the Lions bench, they asked him how he was going to do. And he said, well, I hope I hit five home runs. Totally joking. He says, I hope I hit five home runs tonight. So he hits the first, the first at bat, he gets a home run. Next at bat, he had a nice sharp single in the left. And then that was pretty much it. I think he walked in his final at bat, but good for him.
Right.
You can only hope that, the career stays on that trend, as he goes along. So good luck with the Lions. Good luck with that. The SoftBank Hawks, you talked about the injuries. Now, Takahiro Mahara, their closer, has been out with a bad shoulder. Brian Falkenborg took over the closing role, and now he's got a bad back. So they went out and purchased. I don't know if they purchased the rights or just purchased the contract.
They bought him.
They bought Yancy Brazaban, a former Dodger. That's the only reason I know him. And he was great for the Dodgers in 2005 and had, I think he had like 21 saves or something.
Wow.
Crazy. Then he had Tommy John surgery and he's just been, kind of a guy who's getting kicked around. He was with the Arizona Diamondbacks. They optioned him out to AAA, I think, and then the Hawks swooped in. So, they're going to bring him in and, who knows what role he's going to fill, but he's going to be in the bullpen for them. They also brought up a guy from the instructional league,
from the independent.
Independent league, yeah. They signed from the independent league. So they're looking for help in the bullpen. They'll just need some guys to fill in for a while. Speaking of bullpens, Darryl Rasner for the Eagles. 5-for-5 in save chances so far.
Whoa, Darryl.
I didn't know you had it in you, dude. Good job. I mean, you know, this is good. They needed to,
I'm going to fill in. Just pretend I'm Daryl Erasmus and you asked me the question. And Daryl, don't sue me.
What's the question I'm supposed to ask you, Daryl? About your other brother.
But how am I doing it?
How are you doing this?
I just keep fooling them. Just fooling them. That's all I do. I go out there and keep fooling them and hope they don't catch up.
Or catch on.
Yeah, that's pretty much his answer. We love Daryl, and keep fooling him, babe.
Yeah, good job, man. I mean, it's good. They haven't had any stability back there at the end of the bullpen.
Not at all.
What's his name? Fukumori.
He was their bullpen stud, Fukumori.
Stud, yeah. But he was
not like something you can
hammer
nail
into. Exactly. Well, as much of a joke as that is the bullpen really hasn't been great. The back of the bullpen, I should say, hasn't been great since he left. So, it could be a spot for old Daryl. Last time I saw him, he was limping a little bit with a groin injury maybe at Chiba. And that was earlier on in the season. And then after that, they since shifted him to the bullpen and found some success. So good for them. We like our gutty little Eagles. We want them to make the playoffs, especially this year. This has been a year where, Fukushima and that area, Sendai, could use something other than Nadeshiko Japan's soccer team and some people who actually live there, like the players of Rakuten. And we hope they can, keep the push going, move forward, move upward, get into the postseason, bring some excitement.
That's the best thing for everybody, I think, is that the Eagles, play up to their ability. The Eagles have been kind of such a weird team ever since they were made, playing, trying too hard. They were the gutsy little Eagles who tried too hard. And then, of course, they got Nomura, and I asked somebody, they played, played up because of Nomura, and I had somebody say they played to win despite Nomura. I swear, you ask people, and I don't know if there's anybody who thinks that Nomura left them a better team. So it's a funny organization, and you hope that they are they can. Get the payoff this time with everybody pulling for him.
Well, we're behind the Eagles. We're behind you. We're behind Jim Swallows. We're hoping to get my Dragons a little bit of fire and get them in the playoff push here. And it's going to be a great 2 months. So we'll be following it along. Follow along with us here on Japan Baseball Weekly. Thanks for listening. We set up a Facebook page for the site. Under my name, but you can go there and find it. It says Japan Baseball Weekly. I'll kind of treat it as a Twitter account and give updates since I don't tweet enough.
Tweet all, dude.
I don't tweet at all. But you can hopefully it'll make it easier for you to leave comments, hint, and questions. You can look for us on iTunes. Just search for Japan Baseball Weekly. You can email the show at yakyujohn@gmail.com. Thanks a lot for listening. Thank you very much, Jim. Good job.
Hey, thank you, John. See you next week.
All right. Enjoy your baseball. Bye-bye.